I'm glad that you're with us. I'm George, one of the pastors at FBC, and I briefly want to share with you a few words from Scripture on this Good Friday. Can I tell you some of the things that I find most enjoyable in my life? I enjoy waking up, looking at the clock, and realizing I have an hour more of sleep left before I really have to get up and start the day. Oh, that's so awesome. Another enjoyable thing, I love watching a dramatic moment in sports. Just this past week, I'm somewhat embarrassed to say that I was watching a classic Atlanta Braves game from 1992. And yes, I'm concerned that the television called something classic from the 90s. But anyway, I knew that that play, the final play, would send the Braves to the World Series. And even though I knew it was going to happen, I still found myself yelling and fist pumping from a game that happened 28 years ago. Makes me smile just thinking about it. Another good thing, I enjoy wrestling with my kids and listening to their nonstop laughter and attacking me and trying to pin me down. I think we have another wrestling match scheduled for this evening. That's a lot of fun. And I also enjoy, and I currently miss, hearing our church gather together and sing, lifting up their voices together while we worship God. That's something that's wonderful for my soul. Those are good things. And I'm sure you would have a lot of good things that would make you smile if I mentioned them too. And so we come to Good Friday. We've just read the account of the crucifixion of Jesus, the story of the Son of God dying. I'm sad when I read those verses in John 19. We can only imagine what Jesus endured, and it's terrible what he experienced. It's been said that the worst thing that could ever happen in the universe is a perfect, holy God being killed. There's a word for it, deicide, the death of God. So how could the worst thing be connected to Good Friday? Is it really good? I believe so. And what's more, not only is it good, it's good for you personally. And I believe that we could even say it can be good for every single one of us today, this afternoon. If you have your Bible with me, if you have your Bible with you, turn with me in just a few minutes to 1 Peter chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible with you this afternoon, we'll put the key verses on the screen in just a few moments. In this chapter, Peter is calling believers to practically follow Jesus in the world around them. And so starting in verse 13, about halfway through chapter 2, Peter starts listing a number of things. Peter calls us to obey our government. He tells us to live freely, pursuing the goodness of God. Then Peter, in one of my favorite verses in the Bible, sums up how we should interact with everyone on the planet in verse number 17. It says this, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Fearing God, loving your church, that's the brotherhood, honoring everyone else, that literally might be the best piece of social advice and wisdom you will ever receive when trying to live out following Jesus in this world. Peter then speaks to those who serve others, calling them to show respect to those that are above them. Respect the masters who treat you well, and even respect those who treat you poorly and unjustly. Endure sorrow while following God. Keep doing good, even if you suffer for it. Suffering for following God? Experiencing injustice and still showing respect? You know what comes into my mind first when I hear these things? Well, I don't like hearing that. I don't want to suffer for doing good. I want my reward. I'm entitled to justice. I deserve to be treated fairly. I think Peter expected that kind of response. So this is what he says. He says, do good for Jesus even when it is difficult, and even when you experience suffering. Why? Because Jesus did so. And he did so much good and suffered so much for you. Would you read with me 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25 as we jump in towards the end of the chapter? Verse 21 says this, "For to this you have been called, to suffer well for Jesus, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." I want to highlight with you the beautiful change that Jesus' death and suffering brings. And we're going to highlight that through verse 24 in 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice the contrast between Jesus and us in this verse. What jumps out to you in that first phrase in verse 24 about us? Well, it's the phrase, our sins. This is our doing. This is our law breaking and our evils towards God. This is us showing disrespect towards God. You know, actions like that demand punishment. Our sins can't be excused before a holy, perfect God. And now in that first phrase, look at Jesus. If our sins jumped out to you about us, then what do you notice about Jesus that jumps out to you in that first phrase? He himself bore our sins in his body. He took the punishment by dying on the cross, or the tree, as Peter puts it. He met the demands that God required of us for our sins. He endured the suffering for us. He was our substitute. FBC, don't miss Jesus being our substitute this weekend, this Easter weekend. This is central to the gospel. Praise God that we had Jesus to come take our place. If we don't have a substitute in Jesus for our sins, then we don't have a way to a holy God. Be astonished at the love that Jesus has for his children by willingly taking our punishment for us. And with Jesus as our substitute on the cross, we are no longer under the crushing weight of our sin, but rather we're set free. And Peter describes exactly what that freedom looks like. And there are two things that I want to highlight that remind us exactly why Good Friday is good for us today. The first one is this. Jesus' death allows me to sever sin from my life. Look at verse 24 again. Because Jesus bore my sins on the cross, I can die to sin. Do you see that phrase? That means to eradicate, to kill, to sever. Let me tell you what Jesus does with the believer's sin. This is what he tells sin in the life of every believer. Jesus says, sin, you're done. You're finished. When you follow Jesus, Jesus closes your sin account with God. You're not in debt anymore to God. What's more, Jesus' death nails your sin to the cross. Not only are you not in debt anymore to your sin, perfect, holy Jesus stands in your place as credit to your account. So when evil and sin come raging at you, telling you that you're not good enough for God, Jesus says to his children, this believer, this child of God, they aren't filthy. They belong to me. Look at this transaction in Colossians 2. I'll put the verse on the screen for you. It says this in verses 13 and 14, and you who were dead in your trespasses, dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Sin's penalty that you had to pay, that penalty was separation from God forever. That penalty is gone when we call upon our God. Not only is the penalty gone, sin's power is vanquished. It does not rule over the child of God anymore. But what if your sins are many? Could they be too much for God? Look at what Micah says in the Old Testament. He says in chapter 7, "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Do you see that, FBC? For everyone that comes to Jesus and repents of their sins and believes that Jesus is their Savior, God tramples your sin. He throws it away. And I hope that your joy increases when you remember that God, he doesn't have a bad arm. Did you see that throw? He hurls your sin into the depths of the sea. That's just not compassion. That's jaw-dropping compassion. And then God, in his mercy, chooses not to remember any record of your sin. Look at what the author of Hebrews says. "For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." FBC, I hope you see the complete obliteration of your sin in the eyes of God through the work of Jesus. It's stunning. It's a gift. It's God's mercy in action. Because Jesus bore your sins on the cross, this allows you to sever sin from your life. You can find Jesus better. You can find Jesus more beautiful than anything this world has to offer. So my brothers and sisters, consider the amazing work Jesus has done in your life and go sever sin in your life. Go to war against temptation. Go on the attack against sin. Your anger, your lust, your bitterness, your selfishness, your pride. Jesus died for all those things. Those sins don't belong with you anymore. Kids and teenagers, are you out there? Can you give me a wave at the camera? I'm waving back at you. You know, you can battle sin too. And you can cut it off from your life as well. But you know, being in a battle, sort of tough. How many of you have find obeying your parents tough sometimes? Yeah, I know I did. And how many of you find it hard to be kind to your brother or your sister? Yeah, that was me too. That was a battle. And it's a battle for you too. So do you know what's really useful in battle? Some weapons and some help. Your weapon is your Bible. It's like a sword. So keep memorizing those Bible passages in your Awana book this week. That's getting more weapons for you to fight against sin. And you know where to find help? You find it in Jesus. And guess what? Jesus is everywhere. So ask Jesus for some super strength to help you be kind and obey when the battle is tough. So whether you're a kid or a teen or an adult, you can run to God and plead for help. And God in his mercy will readily grant you power to change. But change to what? I'm severing sin in my life to go where? You know, Jesus dying for your sins is only just half the truth. He calls you from sin and to something else. What is that something else? Well, he points to it, Peter does, in the same verse we've been looking at, 1 Peter 2:24. Look at that verse again. Not only does Jesus become our sin bearer so we can sever sin from our life, he also becomes our sin bearer so we can live to righteousness. We can say it like this: I can now pursue righteousness in my life because of Jesus' death and suffering for me. This is freedom in Jesus. We are no longer chained up in bondage to our sin. We have been set free to live how God created us to live, pursuing righteousness in order to give God glory. You know, righteousness, it's good works for God. You know, these good works don't add to your salvation. They don't earn us anything. Rather, righteousness is the result of turning to Jesus. Righteousness is what your life produces when you're following him. Jesus' followers produce good works, not to make us look good, but to make God look good. Remember Ephesians 2:10, a verse we studied just a couple weeks ago. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Did you see that? We are created to go and do good for God. This is following Jesus. It's a life devoted to him. This is the work of the cross. Without it, we would be hopelessly trapped in our sin. This is the beautiful change that Jesus' death and suffering brings. The work is done. Did you notice the last phrase in 1 Peter 2:24? By his wounds, you have been healed. By his wounds, by his suffering, by his death, you are spiritually healed. Salvation has been accomplished. Jesus has done all the work necessary to allow you to follow him freely. This is the gospel. Jesus' work releases you from sin and allows you to pursue freedom and righteousness. So what's our response to this on Good Friday? First, we should use our freedom well. Look at Galatians 5 with me. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Jesus' example of doing good and suffering for us should call us to do good and suffer for others. Not using our freedom as a license to sin and do as we please, but rather as an opportunity to serve others in love, just like Jesus did for us. Second, cherish and love what Jesus did on the cross this weekend, FBC. Hold it close. This is the good news for us, that Jesus is our Savior. Find him marvelous and beautiful as we celebrate his resurrection. I hope you see that this is no small work what Jesus did on the cross. Good Friday is so good because Jesus allows us to be severed from sin in our lives and alive to pursue righteousness in our life as well.